Blog Talk Radio.
Good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh. The Dolly McCarthy Show.
Yeah, it's a good show.
The Dolly McCarthy Show.
The Dolly McCarthy Show is brought to you by Sullivan Steakhouse. Sullivan Steak, offering guests a unique steakhouse experience with delectable food, fun cocktails, and swinging live music, enticing guests to untie, unwind, and uncork. Midwest Coach Limousine is a family-run company led by an experienced and knowledgeable staff. Visit them online at mwc.limo or book a vehicle from their luxury fleet of sedans online at SUVs, limousines, party, and coach buses. Their staff is ready to make your special events memorable. North Fork Farm, located in rural Oswego, Illinois. North Fork Farm is family-owned and operated since 1961. It was originally owned by former U.S. President Polk. North Fork Farm, offering services for weddings, parties, corporate events. Contact the farm at 815-768-5400. Tours are available by appointment. Check them out on the web at nforkfarm.com. Arthur Murray Dance in Naperville and in Oak Brook. They didn't invent dancing, just the best way to teach it. Check them out online at arthurmurraynaperville.com or give them a call and mention the Dolly McCarthy Show, and your first dance lesson is absolutely free. That number is 630-355-6240. Hey, if you want to keep your home or business safe, go to NapervilleAlarm.com. They have everything from 24/7 alarm monitoring to home automation through your smartphone. Monitoring starts at a low price of $19 a month with no contract. NapervilleAlarm.com, keeping Chicagoland safe since 2000.
Good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh. The Dolly McCarthy Show.
Hey, this is Vanilla Ice, and you're listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show. Holla and pop your collar.
Hey, everybody, it's Dolly here. You have reached the good show. Today we have an hour-long show bringing you good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh every week. We love to feature those non-for-profits out there. If you are a non-for-profit or know someone who volunteers for a non-for-profit or just are aware of a non-for-profit that's doing good things in our community, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. We want to bring their good news to the good masses of people out there listening to the good show. Thanks, everybody. You can hear the show on Blog Talk Radio. That's where it all began. Hello, everybody, at Blog Talk Radio. Rivet Radio Network in Chicago. 1010 News Talk in Chicago. I'm your morning gal. And to Toueyville Internet Radio, and to our fine folks at WCKG, 1530 AM. I am your host, Dolly McCarthy. And we always want to stay positive on the show, but we have, you know, from time to time, we have some topics that are not, I wouldn't say positive, they're informative. They're not always pleasant to talk about, but this is an easy show. Today we've got a good show. I want to remind you all that the Dolly McCarthy Show is going, well, a year from now, we're going to Ireland again. If you want information on that, it's going to be on our website very soon. Our organizers are planning an amazing getaway to the Emerald Isle. Fly with me across the pond. We're going to go back to Dublin, to the Guinness Storehouse. You may have seen my pictures on Facebook, Instagram. I am a certified Guinness pourer. And you can too. You can be one too, my friends. Yes, you can. That's going to be next year, November. I just want to give you a heads up because Christmas is coming. The goose is getting fat. Put a penny in the old lady's hat. Not me. So Christmas is coming. It will make a great Christmas gift, this tour of Ireland we're going to go on. And my friend Declan Stapleton, he's the owner of Harp and Fiddle in Uptown Park Ridge. He's going to be coming along with me, otherwise known as Big D, and I'm Little D, Double D, Double Dangerous. We're going to be taking you to the Emerald Isle like you've never seen before. So if you are looking for a special gift for your loved ones, check out our itinerary. We're going to have that online very soon for you. But I just want to give you guys a heads up because we already have 10 people that have really already put down deposits for this trip. So it will go fast. We would love to have all of you there. So let me know. Okay. A lot going on this week. A couple of months ago, I wanted to have on the show, let me just pull this up right here. We wanted to talk about safety. You know, my daughters are off at U of I, with two in college now. And we wanted to keep, do everything I can as a mom to keep them safe. And this came up, and this is something that parents don't normally think about, like how to keep your children safe, like electrical accidents, you know, electrical safety tips, things like that. You hear about these accidents all the time, and you don't think it can ever happen to you, but it can. I just saw something online not too long ago. Someone had plugged in a heating, one of those space heaters, into those power packs, you know, and it melted the whole thing. I also had a friend who had her smartphone plugged in, was sitting on her carpet, and it burned her carpet. I like that. It's crazy stuff. So these are kind of things that keep me up at night as a mom. So when I heard about having someone on the show, experts on the show, from the EEC, the Energy Education Council, when I heard about that opportunity, I jumped on it because there's just things that you don't know about that are, after it happens, the disaster happens, it's so obvious that this is something that could have been avoided. So that was something I wanted to have a conversation with on the show back in August, September. We weren't able to have her on the show, but now we have Molly Hall, and she is the executive director of the Energy Education Council, the Safe Electricity Program. And we're going to have her on the show in just a moment here. We're going to talk about, you know, electrical accidents, how to avoid them. And now that the holidays are here, you know, even more so, how do we prevent this from happening? You know, the holidays, you're stringing lights around a tree, you're plugging in all those things in the jacks that you shouldn't be. So I'm here to help you get that squared away. Actually, Molly's here. So Molly, welcome to the show. Molly, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I just lost all my notes on you, Molly. Here we go.
It's okay.
Molly
we
Hall.
Can wing it.
We got you, Molly. Here we go. Molly Hall is the Executive Director of the Energy Education Council. Really, thanks for coming on the show. We do want to keep our children safe while they're away at college. These things happen in dorm rooms. Kids going off to college, they need to keep those electrical safety tips. Front of mind, how to avoid fire shocks and injuries, you know, cell phone use and stuff like that. So let's talk about some of this stuff. What are some of the key points you want to get across to our listeners about electrical accidents? Are they as common or uncommon as we think?
Well, let me just say that, you know, the numbers aren't extremely high compared to some other types of injury and death. However, you know, when you combine electrical fires with electrical incidents, shocks, you have more than 1,000 people dying each year and tens of thousands more getting injured. And the thing is that whenever there are one of these incidents, it rocks the world of everyone around them. So the impact is very far-reaching. And the terrible thing about it is that most of these are preventable if we have awareness. So that's our goal here with Safe Electricity, is to let people know that it's relatively easy to avoid an electrical tragedy, but they need to be aware. And before I got involved with this industry, with the electrical utility industry, I did not know anything more than the average person. You flip the light switch, if it's not there, you think about it. Or you might think about it when you open your bill, but you're not thinking about hazards around your home. And certainly when you're outside, you're not thinking about those overhead power lines because they've blended into the view for a long time ago. You see the birds land on the wires and fly away, and they're fine. So you assume the wires are safe and they're coated or something like that, and that's not the case. The bird is not a path to ground. Humans on the ground become a path to ground, and they're shocked or killed. So it's really just a matter of awareness. And, you know, electricity is a wonderful source of energy. It powers our modern world. We wouldn't be having this show without electricity. So it is a wonderful form of energy, but we have to respect that power or, you know, bad things can happen. So I'm just delighted to always have the opportunity to talk about it, and thank you for having me on. We can get right into college safety if you like, or we can talk more generally as we go.
Yeah, well, I was telling everybody that was the plan earlier this season to talk to you about, because the kids are off to college, but they're going to be coming home, and then they're going to head back to college, so they're going to always need these tips. And it's interesting, this is my fault as a parent. I failed to educate my youngest. I have five. My youngest was working with a blow dryer, and the tub was not emptied. And I thought, if she drops it in there, does she know, just in case, you know, or, you know, some sort of a electrical device, does she know that you can't reach in there and grab it? And she didn't know about that. So I had to explain this to a 15-year-old. I thought that's something that they learned in school, or I thought that I had mentioned that to her. But you never know what these kids know and don't know. So it's always good to, as a parent, over-educate. But, yes, let's talk about, you know, the safeties in a college dorm, phone safety. Just dive right in. And then we're also the holiday lighting and decorating time of year. And space heaters. I just plugged in my space heater in the basement here. And plug it into a power strip. Is that a no-no?
Well, it depends on what kind of power strip. You know, there are smart strips that can prevent a current overload, and those are good ones to have. But, you know, extension cords and things like that are temporary solutions. They're not intended as permanent solutions. So let's go back to the blow dryer incident. We want to have a ground fault circuit interrupter outlet in every wet area of the home. So that's the kitchen, the bathroom, the laundry room, the basement, outdoor outlets. And if you don't have them in there, you can get portable GFCIs to use for plugging those devices in. You're right. Water and electricity do not mix. Now, most blow dryers today, I think, you know, just about everyone that I've seen has a built-in GFCI, and it won't power on unless that GFCI is set and working. But if you're counting on that outlet, if it doesn't have a GFCI or if the GFCI hasn't been tested and reset, then you could have a problem. So, yeah, you don't want to ever, if you drop an electrical appliance in water, it's always best to not touch it. You know, if you have a flooded basement, the last thing you're thinking about when you're seeing stuff on the floor wet is whether or not water could be in contact with outlets or things that are plugged in. People have been killed going down into basements with standing water. So we just need to be aware that when electrical or equipment is around and we've got water present, we just need to be extremely careful. Going back to college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, when I went to college, I didn't have that many things to plug in, but there were only two outlets on my side of the dorm room. Now kids have all kinds of stuff. In addition to study lamps, they're going to have laptops, TVs, stereos, their grooming devices like the blow dryer and curling iron, other electrical devices, and they're unaware of overload dangers. So, you know, it is a good idea to make sure that parents make sure their kids are educated because, you know, back home there are a lot more outlets. Mom and dad take care of the safety stuff, so they really don't think about it. But the reality is we have about 3,500-plus fires in dorms, fraternities, sororities, and off-campus housing. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, we get an average of 7 deaths a year, 54 injuries, millions in property damage. So, but it's the lives that really matter the most. So we need to make sure that students take note of the number of electrical outlets in their rooms. Think about the books and papers and bedding that, you know, are going to be close to the things that are plugged in. Use those power strips that have the overcurrent protection that will automatically shut off power if there's too much current being drawn. You know, my daughter is one of those that likes to string the little lights around her bedroom. You don't want to tack or nail an electrical cord to any surface or run cords under traffic paths, like under rugs where they can be trampled and damaged. Even using the correct wattage on a light bulb, on a fixture, a lamp. You know, if you don't know what wattage to use, don't use more than 60 watts. And a better idea is use those cooler-burning compact fluorescent lamps, the CFLs, whenever you can. As they approach Thanksgiving break, unplug all that stuff before you leave. You don't need it while you're gone, or at least, you know, if you want to take it home, but unplug everything else. You know, that just is a safety measure to make anytime you're going home on break, Christmas break as well. So just we need to make sure our kids understand. And I will tell you, as a student, I didn't think about it. I don't think my mother thought about it. But it is one of those things that's just a good idea to be aware of.
Right, right. Now, what about the string and the lights around those live trees? Is
it, you know, when it comes to Christmas, you just have to use common sense and be aware of, you know, the warning signs if there is an apparent problem. You don't want it on the inside. You don't want to string more than three strands together at a time. You start stringing, you know, four, five, six, then you're getting into, you know, dangerous territory. But before you even string those lights, you want to examine all the cords. Are there any broken bulbs or cracks and frays in that cord? Because if there is, you just need to get it replaced. Those are fairly cheap these days. And as long as you look for that, you know, that UL label or that, you know, safety testing label, you know, you can pretty well rest assured that it's going to be a good product if you find those. And they have tried to make them more recognizable so that counterfeits don't get through as easily as they once did. But you want to make sure that, you know, if you blow a circuit, and that happened to us a few years ago. My husband is a Clark Griswold, and we had the living room, the tree, everything was just decorated to the hilt. And we you know, blew a fuse. And he went and reset it, and it blew again. And I said, okay, he said, well, I better go reset it. And I said, no, that's a sign that something is wrong. So we need to find another circuit to put some of this stuff on. And we did. We searched around until we found outlets that were not on the same circuit, and we were able to even out the load so that it wasn't going to blow. But if you're frequently tripping a circuit breaker, that's your circuit breaker is screaming at you, there's a problem you need to investigate. So let's take care of it.
Right. We're talking to Molly Hall. She's the executive director of the EEC, and we're getting all kinds of safety tips. It's the Energy Education Council, by the way, for those of you not aware. So we're getting tips on how to keep our loved ones safe this holiday season and your college kids in their dorms. And before we continue, we've got a few more minutes. I want to quick say, stick around, you guys. Dr. Michael Lewis is going to be joining us in the little while, and we're going to talk about concussions, how to prevent them, and treatment of concussions and head injuries, a common thing with, you know, your kids and their sports. It's more common than you can imagine, and he's got a book out, When Brains Collide. We're going to talk to him about that in a little bit, so stick around for that discussion. And then Julie Cornick, who's the executive director of the Brightside Theater, will be on to talk about next season's shows and an upcoming production for the Brightside Theater. But first, we're back with Molly Hall, who's the executive director of the EEC, talking about electrical safety. Let's talk about computers and phones. These are common items always in the bed with everybody, not just the college kids. People are going to bed with their phones, sticking them under their pillows. I've been guilty of working on my laptop in bed with me, and then I leave it on my bed, and I run out to an appointment. And I started to, you know, just recently it occurred to me, you know, what if something went wrong and that whole bed could go up? Why is it not a good idea to have a phone or a laptop in your bed?
Well, for one thing, they can overheat if they get covered up, if they're under a pillow, if they're under bedding. You don't want to charge them while you're in the bed. If you're going to charge a phone, you know, after you use it, put it on your nightstand. And make sure that it's got air around it. But another issue is making sure that you're using a manufacturer's approved charging device. because there's a lot of cheaper things out there that aren't really designed to safely power your equipment. So particularly if you're using one of those, that increases the risk of overheating, and we've heard stories of, you know, the plug melting into the outlet or the phone melting because it got too hot. So you definitely want to make sure you're using the type of charging device that is approved by the manufacturer of the device you're charging. But yeah, you know, any mm-hmm. device can overheat, and that's one reason why it's a good idea not to have cords under rugs. Not just because they'll get damaged if you walk on them, but they can overheat down there. So we just need to make sure. And same thing with space heaters. They need space.
Okay. Molly Hall, thank you so much. We've been talking about safe electricity with Molly Hall with the EEC. Really appreciate all your tips. And it's a great reminder to, you know, be smart and safe with your electricity, especially with the holidays coming along. And we've got all those Clark Griswolds out there. Is your husband now a reformed Clark Griswold?
No, he's still one. But let me just say, if people want more information, they can go to safeelectricity.org. We've got videos of personal experiences with electrical incidents, and they're not all sad. Some of them, you know, they had the knowledge, and when the incident happened to them, they knew what to do. So we've got some good news stories out there, too, about how knowledge really does make a difference. But they're compelling stories, and they help you out. Yes, safeelectricity.org.
All right. Thank you, Molly, so much. Happy holidays to you.
My pleasure. Happy holidays to you and your listeners.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Yeah, the Dolly McCarthy Show.
What's up, everybody? It's Dustin Lynch, and you are listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Hey, everybody. I'm back. We were talking about electrical safety, and I have a space heater going on right here, and it's in a power pack, and I got to make sure this is a smart one. That's on my list to do today. I'm putting it on the list. So put it on the list to check, make sure that you're doing things to keep your family safe. No phones and no computers in the beds either. That's also a good idea, right? Get off your phone. Read a book. Relax. Well, my next guest is Dr. Michael Lewis. He's the founder of the Brain Health Education and Research Institute, and he's also the author of a new Amazon best-selling book, When Brains Collide. Dr. Lewis, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. I was getting worried there. I didn't hear anything. Great to have you on the show. Well, congratulations on your best-selling book. And we're going
to
talk about what every athlete and parent should know about preventing in the treatment of concussions and head injuries. We're going to pack this in 15 minutes or less. I know that's almost impossible. But a great book in explaining, you know, something that I take all the time, fish oil, omega-3s. And then now you're talking in this book about the hemp-derived CBD oils and how they can heal concussions. So tell us what made you write the book, and then we're going to get into specific scientific, you know, what is a concussion, so parents know how very important it is to treat these concussions and how they can happen and use products that can, you know, alleviate this problem from getting worse, right, following the concussion. So let's talk about what made you write this book.
Well, I spent most of my adult life in the Army, 31 years and 6 months. And, you know, when you're in the Army and you got wars going on around you and people having head injuries and traumatic brain injuries, you know, you can't help as a physician. What can I be doing to make a bigger impact? And so I kind of put two and two together and came up with an odd number and went to the head of research at Walter Reed and asked, is anybody looking at omega-3 fats, like, you know, from fish oil, and what the brain's made of, you know, to help our soldiers recover from traumatic brain injury? And his answer was, no, why don't you? And so that was a career change for me. And my last 5-6 years in the Army, before I retired, that's what I did, is I put together research programs looking into that and as well as gaining clinical experience with it.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what is a concussion exactly.
Well, nobody really can tell you exactly what a concussion is. You know, there's lots of different definitions out there, but it's a blow, essentially a blow to a head or a transfer of mechanical forces. And it could be from a whiplash. It could be from a blast wave if you're in, you know, a bomb goes off near you, if you're in the Army kind of thing. And so it's a force that disrupts the normal function of the brain. And that, of course, leaves lots of things up for determination. But most people think, you know, you slip on the ice, you hit your head, you're maybe knocked unconscious. Most people aren't. Only about, you know, a very few percentage of concussions actually knock you unconscious. But you might be foggy, dizzy. It's most people can understand what a concussion is, but they think that that's it. But in reality, that's just the beginning, because your brain's been damaged, and so your body tries to repair that damage. So it sends in all the things, the inflammation and all these biochemical cascades to try to repair the damage. But if we don't shut those down, those processes, that can kind of continue to burn and churn through the brain for months, years, even decades, like, say, Muhammad Ali, for example.
When you get a concussion, there's symptoms. You get the headaches, right? Fatigue. They tell you to rest. What other things happen when you get a concussion? And my question is, with concussions, I've never experienced one. My kids, five kids, knock on wood, thank God, never had a concussion. But do you just, is the remedy just rest? I know you're not supposed to read or watch TV.
Well, actually, you're throwing out some great myths there.
Ah,
so
well, correct my myths.
So what we're finding out, nobody ever, you know, it was old wives' tales, you know, well, you've hurt your brain, you must rest it. And so it just kind of logically made sense. But in fact, nobody ever proved that it was the right thing to do. And so what people started to notice is that people that didn't follow those directions, that became more active too soon, they actually got better faster. And so that's led to this whole development, and now it's becoming much more accepted that, in fact, exercise soon after your concussion actually is very beneficial, and it makes sense because you're increasing the blood flow to the brain. And so, I mean, places, you know, a lot of universities like Stanford, for example, university, they put their athletes on a treadmill or a bicycle the day after a concussion, and they exercise them for 20, 30 minutes because they want to increase that blood flow. And there's good studies now that show for every day that you delay doing exercise after a concussion, the higher probability is you're going to have long-term problems.
Really? Is there a way to reverse that? Or do something now to do what you can to help it? I mean, if, you know, some people have had concussions years ago, and so they're not, they seem to be doing fine, but then also like Muhammad Ali, it creeps up on you later in life, and then
it's those inflammatory cascades. And so how do we deal with inflammation? Is diet and exercise, what we eat. And the problem is that much of what we eat actually is fuel on the fire. It actually makes inflammation worse. And so there's a couple of types of fats found in the brain, but two of the more important ones are omega-6s, which their downstream effect is to promote inflammation, and omega-3s, which help resolve inflammation. And they're meant to be in balance, but the problem is our food supply and how we eat, and fast food and junk food and processed food, all these things are really chock full of omega-6s, so much so that we're no longer in balance as a society. as a culture, we're 20 or even 30 to 1 out of balance of these pro-inflammatory omega-6s to the resolving omega-3s. So I take the approach, if we try to lower the 6s, which is virtually impossible, you can do it somewhat, that's going to take months or even years, but we can increase the omega-3s very, very quickly with supplementation. And so I developed this thing called the Omega Protocol when I was in the Army, and the idea of flooding the brain and the body with omega-3s up front, like a loading dose, to correct that inflammation imbalance. And the side effects of it are people, I mean, about 80% of my patients I'm finding have a noticeable improvement in 1 or 2 days after they start the Omega Protocol. And it may be right after a concussion, or in some cases I've dealt with 60, 70-year-old Hall of Fame NFL football players and have turned their lives around even decades after they stopped playing football.
Really? Wow. So even those of us that even haven't suffered from concussions either, would it be beneficial for us to take it? But maybe not in that high of a dose.
Well, probably not that high of a dose, but, you know, the best thing is get your blood checked, and then you can adjust it a little more objectively. But, I advocate, especially if you're playing, you know, if you got a kid that's playing high school sports, for example, ice hockey or football or soccer or college, and I'll get into that in a half a second, but I advocate that athletes should be on omega-3s every single day to help keep their brain resilient and maybe withstand an injury from happening in the first place. And if an injury does occur, then you've got the right balance already on board. And, you know, working on this for years, finally earlier this year, the NCAA, that oversees all college athletics, authorize the use of omega-3s, that universities can provide omega-3s, fish oil and other omega-3s at the training tables and to their athletes, because they finally recognize the importance of omega-3s for brain development and brain health.
Yeah. And what about those that are not athletes like me?
There's lots of reasons, lots of ways that people can get concussions. Certainly kids on playground and skateboarding and biking. But you could go out to get the newspaper in the morning and slip on the ice. There's certainly plenty of car accidents that happen all the time. And so there's lots of ways, and especially as we get older and we start to lose that muscle control and you're more prone to falls. So lots of risk factors of what can cause a concussion, not to mention that, you know, the incidence of Alzheimer's disease has been rising over the last couple of decades.
Yeah, and you hit it right there. That's what my fear is, the Alzheimer's. That's why I take fish oil. But I've never heard anybody say to take it for that. So that was very curious what you would say.
Well,
about that.
If you think... The studies are really hard to do because you've got to be taking a decent dose. And, you know, really the time to prevent Alzheimer's is in your 20s and 30s and going into your 40s, not waiting till the onset of it. And by then, some would argue that it's already too late. So prevention really starts much sooner. And I don't think we appreciate that. And it's certainly really, really difficult to do those kinds of prospective studies that would literally take 30 or 40 years to do.
Yeah, right. Now, you're also an advocate for CBD oil. Tell us why you think that is another option,
tool that people can use to
alleviate.
Well, I always like to point out that in 2003, there was a patent awarded to some NIH, National Institute of Health researchers, including one of the three was the 1970 Nobel laureate in medicine. And the patent is cannabinoids as antioxidants and neuroprotectants. And they say in the abstract of the patent that omega-3s, cannabinoids such as CBD, cannabidiol, that's found in the cannabis plant, has tremendous value in stroke and trauma and neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And so they had done a lot of great research up to that point before they were issued that patent. And then, of course, you know, when you throw in the words cannabis, things sort of get muddy. And the government, while they owned a patent on it, also were saying, well, all of cannabis is illegal and, you know, you can't research it and you can't do anything with it and, you know, all this and all that. And what's finally freed a lot of things up was the 2018 Farm Bill that was signed about 11 months ago. And that had in it the Hemp Act, which defined industrial hemp that's grown as a crop. And hemp is a form of cannabis that has more CBD in it than THC. The THC is what gets you high and basically defines hemp as basically not having any THC or just a trace amount at most. And mm-hmm. so products derived from hemp, you can't get that high like you do from marijuana, and it has tremendous medicinal values. It's been used for thousands and thousands of years.
Right. And they're starting to pop up all over the place, these CBD stores. But there's a lot of misinformation, myths, as you mentioned earlier, about it. So really it's up to us to get educated on this. But really, Dr. Lewis, appreciate you coming on the show and talking about your book. It's called When Brains Collide. You can check out Dr. Michael Lewis's book. Where can folks find it besides Amazon? It's a bestseller on Amazon right now, right?
Right. Well, that's the main place. You can get it on online retailers, but principally Amazon would be the best place to go. And certainly you put in When Brains Collide, it'll pop right up.
Well, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Some eye-opening information there for all of us to absorb into our brains. Thanks, Dr. Lewis.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye now. Oh, boy, I really do hope I made a mistake. I accidentally hung up the phone on Julie Cornick. I hope she calls back. Got disconnected. Julie, I hope you call back into the show so we can talk about the Brightside Theater and the newest production of the Brightside Theater. Oh, yes, yeah, she did call me back. Here she is. We're going to get Julie Cornick, who's the executive director of the Brightside Theater, back on the line. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Sorry about that. I don't know
That's
what happened.
Good.
All good. Thanks for calling back into the show. We've got some really, really, a really cool production coming up this season, this holiday season, guys. And Julie Cornick is now here with us to tell us all about the performances, the productions coming up, especially my favorite, Christmas Carol. Are you guys
yes.
excited about the holidays?
You know, we feel like it's getting earlier every year, specifically with Chicago weather, right? So didn't anticipate snow so early, but so fitting for our wonderful production. And we are so excited. We actually kick off this ninth season, Dolly, if you can believe, number nine. We have our guilty pleasure season, and we kick it off with A Christmas Carol, the musical, which will perform from the day after Thanksgiving, so November 29th through December 15th.
Oh, that's fantastic. How many are in the cast?
So we actually have a cast of 26, which is a pretty big cast, and we've got everything to start the show with some carolers in the lobby to Santa visiting after matinee performances and really telling the classic tale of A Christmas Carol. But, you know, Brightside always likes to do things with a twist. So this is the musicalized version of it. It was written by Alan Menken, who most people know as the man who writes Disney music, right? So it's such a great family-friendly holiday special. And we just really love to bring that to Naperville because it is about kind of coming home for the holidays, right, to an extent. It's great timing opening after, you know, right after Thanksgiving, and just gets everybody in the holiday mood, whether you celebrate Christmas or any other holiday or just simply the winter time frame in Chicago.
Absolutely.
Really
the holiday season.
Fun show.
Not the same without a little bit of Scrooge, right? We got to have a little bit of Scrooge in the holiday season.
Absolutely. So now, the cast has been great, and they're having such a good time putting this all together. It's actually a difficult show because so much of it is musically underscored through the whole production. So there's so much music that is part of the whole show, literally from top to bottom. So you've got a good two-hour show that is just packed with songs that are not maybe as familiar. You're not going to necessarily walk out knowing all the words, but the tunes stick in your head for quite some time. I've gone to a couple rehearsals, and you walk out humming along the way.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, this has been playing, this A Christmas Carol, the musical, has been playing for 10 years in New York in Madison Square Garden. Is that
correct?
Is it still playing there? Every year?
No, I do believe it has since moved on, but it was also made into a movie as well. So it starred Kelsey Grammer, Jason Alexander was in it, Jane Krakowski, a bunch of characters of, you know, kind of TV and film credits. And it's nice to kind of just take that piece, which is still classic, and still make it magical, right? There's something about this story that still touches the heart of everybody, how one person can make an impact on someone's life in the holiday season, right? So while it's still fun, it still has a message a little bit to it, I guess.
Yeah, I love it. And what a better way to celebrate the holidays with your family than go see A Christmas Carol with the Brightside Theater. The theater is right in the heart of downtown Naperville, so you can make a day of it, have dinner before you head to the show. The show starts usually at 8 o'clock, right, Julie? And
yes.
So it's plenty of time to grab dinner and then enjoy the show, bring Grandma and the kids, especially the kids, because these tickets are very, very affordable from what you could, the caliber of the challenge that you guys put out there compared to what you'd see in a Chicago theater. And I'm not knocking Chicago theater, but those tickets are really expensive for some of those productions, the Goodman and so forth. So you could still get the same feel and message in a lot of the caliber of talent right here really easily in the Southwest suburbs with the Brightside Theater. It is a not-for-profit theater, relies on the generous support of people like us to continue to bring, you know, high-quality, affordable entertainment to families, so donations and sponsorships are always appreciated. All right, let's get back into season 9, Guilty Pleasures. Julie, what other productions are you working on? And this is, I must say, over for Steel Magnolias. I'm so excited you're bringing it.
We did cast it already, yes. So I'll go in chronological order. So our next big thing is that during the run of A Christmas Carol, which also has kids in it, so your kids are going to love to see, you know, some of themselves on stage, right, seeing other kids on stage to perform on our main stage. And if they want to come and perform, we have Disney's Frozen Junior, which we are auditioning in December. Remember, that's our Brightside Theater Youth Program, which is an educational program. So it is a pay to participate to work with all of our professional designers and teachers to work with the kids about how to perform and put ultimately a musical on stage when we're doing Disney's Frozen Junior. So definitely falls into that Guilty Pleasures. So the auditions will be December 7th and 8th, and you got a choice to go to either one of them. Anybody who auditions, that's just a way to get us to know the kids and how to place them in an appropriate role so that they can kind of flourish on stage as well as grow. So anybody who comes to audition does participate in the program. Everyone gets cast, which is a great way of just, again, building community and getting the kids to work together and working on those communication skills and problem-solving skills and working in a group setting. It's just such a great program. So we're excited about that. So
what a great opportunity.
We're bringing a brand new series, a concert version of a musical, to the stage for just a one weekend. And considering it's our 9th season, we're going to do the musical 9. and it's really focusing on the music. So it is not a staged version. It is an in-concert version, and really focusing on the musical, which is a beautiful piece. So we're just going to run that for just three performances, actually at the Madden Theater, just down the street from Miley Swallow, where we typically perform. Then we move into Steel Magnolias as we talk about, you know, 30th anniversary of the release of the movie. It's a great time to put our production on stage, which is really all about the women and the support, and finding that friendship to get us through all the times and the seasons in our lives. And obviously, it's an all-women cast. It is also going to be directed by a guest director, Madeline Franklin, who is coming in. So just a lovely, beautiful piece about friendship.
Julie, I have to ask, are you in this one? I hope so.
I'm not in Steel Magnolias. No,
no.
I'm gonna sing a nine, and I will grace the stage in our Mamma Mia season as well. So that will be our blockbuster blowout of our season with Mamma Mia. Nothing but a good party time with all of the ABBA songs and the hits that we all know
yes.
and grew up with.
Absolutely. Oh, that is fantastic. I cannot wait for that one. But Steel Magnolias, I mean, they all sound great. And who could not? You don't want to miss Julie Cornick in nine. That's for sure. This woman is so talented. And you don't get on that stage very often. So take advantage of that opportunity and for our opportunity to see you back on stage. It's great to have you, to see her on there on the stage.
Thank you.
So the holiday season is just right around the corner. It's almost here, you could say, a week away,
yes.
a week and a half from Thanksgiving, right? Can you believe it's Thanksgiving?
Yes,
week and a half away.
It's 2 weeks from today. Taste
so why not give
yeah.
everybody around the Thanksgiving table something to be thankful for, tickets to A Christmas Carol. Those tickets, the show runs November 29th through December 15th at Miley
yep.
Swallow Hall at North Central College. Julie, so how can folks get tickets for this production? And I think you do have season ticket holder benefits and perks and all that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you can go online at brightsidetheater.com, or you can call us at the box office at 630-447-8497 for tickets. But it is a great holiday gift, whether it be a gift certificate or pick out a show for the season. And you can come see all four of those shows. When you subscribe, you save 20% off the season ticket sales, and you get the best seats in the house. Those are reserved. You get those that we do seat ownership. So once you kind of purchase those seats, those are yours. And what's great is we give the availability to our subscribers that we know it's hard to pick a date out into June of 2020. And if your plans do change, we can obviously coordinate and switch their ticketing and for a date that works better with their schedule. So it's a great benefit to have as a subscriber, and just a great season to have some fun with. And there's something for everyone, I think, in the season, all the way from the kids to the adults. And we're really excited about putting our little stamp here in Naperville and continue to growing the arts within the Naperville community.
Yeah, you certainly are. Definitely put a stamp on the map there for high quality theatrical productions, nonstop. And season nine sounds amazing with nine, the musical, Christmas Carol, Steel Magnolias, Mamma Mia, and then for the kids, Frozen. How awesome. What
yes.
an exciting season you have. And a busy
Thank
season
you.
For you, Mama, that's for sure. Well, Julie,
yes.
as always, I am so proud of you and all that you've done and accomplished in 9 years. Break a leg. We'll see you on the stage for Christmas Carol. Don't forget to check out the Brightside Theater, you guys. The website, brightsidetheater.com. Educate, entertain, and enlighten your family and friends in the community. Thanks for coming on the show again, Julie. Break
Thank
a leg.
Thank you so much, Sally.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you, Julie Cornick, for the Brightside Theater, for joining us today on The Good Show. Always great to have Julie on the show. And I want to thank you all for tuning in and supporting The Good Show. It's just my pleasure to bring this show to you and highlight non-for-profits like the Brightside Theater and different conversations with just random things about concussions and electrical safety. You know, you get some of everything on this show. But it's important to stay informed, right? All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next week for another edition of The Good Show.
Folks, this is Joe Diffie, and you're listening to my friend, The Dolly McCarthy Show.
Thanks, Joe Diffie. Be good, everybody. Be good and stay good and good to each other. So long. Bye-bye.
Yeah, 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 the Dolly McCarthy Show.